Hey, welcome to The Deadline. Long time no here. I am Laura, your host and founder of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. And of course, I am here with Brian Sant, the NJGHS tech guru and producer of The Deadline.
Hello.
How are you?
I am rejuvenated, I guess would be the right word.
Yeah, a little mini break.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually got some good emails. People were like, oh, you know, we can't wait. We were having the DTs and da-da-da-da. I'm like, all right, I didn't think it mattered, but
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, jerks never wrote before.
Oh, nice. Way to win over that listening audience.
kiss my you-know-what. I don't change for no one.
No, absolutely, absolutely. I was, you know, been... I heard from somebody recently, too, that I should be, like, tweaking my attitude and all this stuff in order to, like, make myself more amenable to finding a significant other. And I was just like, it's too late. You know, I'm 45. I am set in my ways. What you see is what you get. And
Take it or leave it.
Yeah. And I'm not up for any head games. I'm not up and to modifying myself or being what someone's conception or perception of me, of what they think I should be. I'm not jumping through hoops for that anymore. It's like, you know.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, really. So anyway, we have some interesting things. A lot has transpired since
one or two things
last got together. Remember that show, or, well, proposed potential show, Ghost Chicks?
I do.
Okay, well, it's no more for me. Sorry, but what I saw in that video clip was the very representation and idea of the show that I wanted nothing to do with. Remember how I said I was so looking forward to finally women being able to, instead of just being relegated to the admin capacity of, like, taking notes and feeding a certain dynamic paranormal duo that we know of all the information, and then they run with it, and the female is just stuck in the background. This was going to be so cool. I thought, oh, finally, you know, brains and beauty come together in the paranormal. Da da da. Wrong. I don't know. Did you get to see that little
clip?
Yes.
Yes.
And what did you find?
Wow. I could have done better.
Yeah. Yeah. My son, who's studying to go into, like, film and stuff, and, yeah. But, you know, it was really sad because, you know, it was only supposed to go to, from what I understood, to a certain production company in California that requested to see, well, what are these women like, what are their personalities like. So, all right. And I had a bad gut feeling. I really did. Something kept bugging me from the night I left that shoot. I was just driving home. I remember driving home with Amber, and I said, I don't know. I don't have a good feeling about this. And she started telling me she didn't have a good feeling either. She said, they made me say and do things. She goes, it's just not me. She goes, I'm not like that. I'm like, oh, boy. You know, so on Saturday, I sent an email. I said, is there any chance, you know, we could see what this looks like before you ship it out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, it would be too huge a file to email. Can't do it. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. So by Sunday, it uploads. Uploads to Facebook, MySpace, all over the place. When I thought it was just going to go, or you would upload it to a private site that only we would be able to log in and see it and say, okay, that's great, and because it was supposed to be kept for this particular whatever out in California. Anyway, so I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm just holding my head, like, you know when you keep saying, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, you know, and you keep repeating it like a mantra?
Yep.
That's how I watched it for the first time, and I made myself suffer through it several more times, trying to find something to embrace about it. Couldn't do it. And then finally, I was just getting madder by the minute, and then I said, you know what, walk away from it. So I waited a day or two. I talked to a friend of mine, and she was like, you know, you should really just voice your concerns, you know. And I said, well, all right. So, you know, I spoke my mind directly to these so-called producers. And I was kicked off the project.
Nice,
yeah. And it kills me that 45% of their fan base on their Facebook page is because of me. Most of those people, like Patrick Burns, I'm sure has never heard of any one of them. Most people haven't heard, except for Jane Doherty, you wouldn't have heard of anybody right. on there, okay? So thank you, people, for your support, you know, knowing that I'm not on that project anymore. It's so kind of you to keep your support going for it, but whatever. You know, it's just your support's underwhelming. Thank you so much. I know how well I rank, you know, that everybody was like, oh, screw it, you know. Whatever. And even though the show is touted as from the feminine perspective, you should know that it's all men running the show. Hence why when I spoke my mind, because I was a female and anything encapsulating estrogen was not to have an opinion, much less voice said opinion. So behind the camera, in editing, promotion, direction, everything is male. Only what you see in front of that camera is female. The three young little pieces of eye candy haven't ghost hunted or investigated a day in their newborn lives, okay? So now they're going to approach that as like, well, you know, yeah, they're in training. Everybody's got to start somewhere. We're training them. It's like, well, what did you say? What were they saying in the video?
Well, they're managers.
Managers. And that was because I was trying to get a little bit more political correctness in there because originally they were specialists, video tech specialists. I'm like, when's the last time you even held a camcorder at a soccer game, let alone in a paranormal capacity? So you're not a specialist, okay? Manager, that's stretching it, but at least you're managing to get the video stuff done. You're managing to take pictures as a photographer. I mean, that was really stretching the title, but it sounded better, I thought, than specialist. But yeah, you're right. They're not...
They're in training.
They should be in training, trainees, yeah. But in any event, oh, yeah. But when I saw that video, I was like, oh, my God. The lighting, we looked like we were just like, and it was, the night they filmed it, it was as if we were being interrogated. These guys were 5 feet away from me in back of the camera. I couldn't see them, Brian. I had this light blaring in my face, and the rest of the room was pitch black. You could hear their voices. You couldn't see them. And I even joked about it. I said, my God, I feel like I'm being interrogated. And the one guy's like, yeah, where were you on the night of, you know? Because, I mean, it really was. And then to see the finished product, I mean, it was just... And the stuff that they strung together, and it was just... None of it said, okay, finally, we're going to be doing this investigation, incorporating the sensitive side of, like, you know, the psychic is sensitive. Mm-hmm. The other one is more the investigator, and we have these three people that are going to learn how to specialize in, I mean, you know, they take the cutaway shot, and I'll be using a device like this to record EVP. When's the last time an investigator sat there like Vanna White and modeled in an instrument and said, I'll be using a device like this? Most people, like if you watch Ghost Adventures, Ghost Hunters, they show you, and they say, this is a digital audio recorder. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe they don't give you the brand name because that would get into the whole advertising. Yeah, yeah. But they do tell you it's a digital audio recorder. It is used to record electronic voice phenomena. Not EMS, emergency medical services, which is what she kept saying. They had to do retake after retake to get her to say EVP. No lie. No lie. But, so, you know, I'm looking at this, watching this video, and I'm just like, it's terrible. You know, we don't look like we know what the hell we're doing and that this is just going to be strung together. And if it were the case that it was solely because a producer somewhere wanted our personalities, you know,
right,
then they should have just said, okay, with just some nice lighting, have all of you sitting here. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? And you could have just seen our personalities come mm-hmm. through, you know. But in any event, that was done. So, you know, I got squelched for saying, you know, it would have been nice if the girls could have looked like they had brains in their head because...
Well, the young girls.
Yeah, the young girls. Like, Jane definitely came across as what she does. And she's a pro. Yep. All right, so she knows what she's doing and it comes through loud and clear. I wasn't happy with my stuff. I thought I looked like an idiot, but I don't like myself on whatever anyway. But the girls, they could have said something like, you know, I'll be using this advanced blah, blah, blah digital right. audio recorder to capture electronic voice phenomena, otherwise known as EVP. You know, I'll be using, like, the one is holding this, the photographer's camera, and she's like, ever since I was a little girl, I take pictures of things that were unique. You know, things that you wouldn't see that often. Redundant. Unique is something you don't see that often. Hello, editing. When you edit, that's when you go, ooh, that's a redundancy. Let's edit that out and just leave it at unique. You know, I mean, it was like, holy crap. I mean, if we couldn't have looked any more bubble-headed and space cadeted, I don't know, right?
I agree.
Okay. So anyway, then they did a follow-up video of a the backstage one. Did you get a chance to look at that?
I didn't bother.
Oh, oh my God. Oh my God. I mean, listen to the music. Now, it's been umpteen years since I've seen a porno flick. I admit that. Because I really, you know, first husband, you know, like, after you're married so many years, you have to do something to kind of, like, put the spice back in there.
Okay.
All right. But anyway, so I have seen them, and I do remember what the music sounds like.
Bow, chicka, wow, wow.
So I'm watching this backstage with the Ghost Chicks clip, and I'm going, oh my God, I can't, that's porno music, that's porno music, and they're showing, it's like, backstage, that's a living room, there's a dining room, there's a kitchen, what the hell is this backstage crap, you know? So my other son comes in, my younger one, and he looks over my shoulder, and he goes, wow, I didn't think they could make something worse than the first one, and he's only 12. They outdid themselves, and anyway, oh, yeah. You know, so you have to take a good, you know, and take a good look. Now, that said, take a good look at what the work the one producer has done. Now, his resume does not scream of too much talent. His work, if you can call it that, is going to be on pay-per-view in 2010. Now, this is the same guy who worked with Carl Petrie, who took a decent movie like The Haunting of Danbury House, which I admit was probably one of the best movies Carl has done. Carl is known for doing kind of like the B-movie cult classic mm-hmm. stuff, you know. But The Haunting of Danbury House was really good. It was really good. And this guy decided, nope, you can't market it. So he put some gratuitous sex and nudity scenes in and repackaged it as Dreams of the Dead. And that's what's going to be on pay-per-view and on demand in 2010.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, you'll kind of figure out when you watch the backstage one what this, and this is the direction that it's like, holy crap, is this where it's going to go? Is this, it was just for them just to get their rocks off with these young girls, like, doing this crap, because now it's like, oh, you know, are they in their midlife crisis, these men? And this is right, how they get right. their jollies, by pretending to be film producers, and oh, let's get these hot young babes so we can really make it look good, and they're having fun. You know, it's for them, it's some attention and adulation, but the young girls are like, okay, I'll do this, sir. Okay, I'll do that. You know, I want to be on camera, too. Whatever. I don't know. But it's you know, it's sad. But I can see now why Rosemary Ellen Guiley just wanted to really not be plugged into this from the get-go. It kind of pisses me off that she's still on there as a fan on their page. I've been meaning to say, you know, hello. You know, you should unplug from it completely.
Yeah, how many fans does she have, though? She probably
thousands. And yeah, that's what would have really made that show in terms of fan base.
Right,
and that's probably why they've gotten more fans. Because once she attached to it on Facebook as a fan of the page, now I don't know if she did it because she genuinely gave a crap, or was she just doing it because she thought I was involved or whatever.
I don't know. Matter of fact, a lot of times she may not even do her Facebook page.
Yeah.
She might have someone doing it for her, and they just accept everybody.
Yeah. Well, no, you can't accept this. You have to become a fan.
Oh, well.
You know? So.
Well, yeah, but people request you become a fan, and you can just hit accept.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't see it. Like,
you sent me a link.
Sent a link, right.
Well, no. You said become a fan of such and such.
Oh, right. If you're on the fan page and you hit share. You can share it through your whole address book. So that's what I did, because initially I was involved in this, and I sent it out to everybody on my Now, I have, like, 1,200 on MySpace. It's a shame I didn't attach it to that, but, well, it's a good thing I didn't, but there was only, I only have like maybe 200, 300 people on Facebook, and, but in any event, so yeah, you know, check out that one producer's work, you know, The Dreams of the Dead, when it comes out, and just look at all the nice porno stuff. Now, I hope maybe Rosemary will listen at some point and just kind of unfan from that, because, you know, it's really not doing her any good. And I could see, like I was saying before, why she was hesitant from the get-go. She probably knew, you know, she's got an agent. She's got a really good reputation. She's got to be very discerning as to what she attaches, you know, her name and knowledge to. So, you know, it's not like it was one of those Beyond Reality productions. That's pretty huge, because that's, I don't know who runs those, but they're pretty big. Like Jeff Belanger was telling me. Mm-hmm. I did get to talk to him during the week, and he said, you know, he does those now, emceeing a lot. He goes, and these people are showing up and paying $200 and $300 for these Jason and Grant things.
I know,
they do.
Yeah.
So there's money out there. It's not floating us. But anyway, as far as Ghost Chicks goes, you know, I got kicked off because I said, I don't think this looks the way we had originally intended. I don't think it's making us look professional and intelligent. And they were like, shut up, get out. Okay. And the only reason I'm hopeful that it gets picked up is for Jane Doherty's sake. Seriously, because she's a good soul. She's a great gal. And if anything, I feel kind of guilty and bad that I involved her with these morons. But I pray it doesn't ruin her good reputation. Best case scenario is that the show gets picked up and the network sends John and Tony packing and puts real directors and producers in charge, hopefully women. But there you have it. That's the unvarnished truth from me. You know I'm not politically correct, and I don't sugarcoat shit. And I call it as I see it, and if you can't take it, tough. And I just figured out why I'm single.
Ta-da!
Yeah, how about that? Good enough?
Very good.
Okay. See, and Brian knows, you're a man of, like, your word, and, like, you don't give a crap for any about changing. And he, and that's what I've always seen. I've always liked it about you. You've always spoken your mind. At least I know, like, if you actually were to pay me a compliment, it is a genuine, heartfelt compliment, you know? Because he doesn't sugarcoat shit either.
Nope.
So anyway, shifting gears, Paranormal Activity, the movie, sucked. Did you see it?
Nope.
Yeah, no. I went for like the bargain matinee thing. So I got my son and I, my older son Brian and I, in for like $12. We got to see it. And granted, I unfortunately was in a rush to make the movie on time, so I took whatever this lotion was that I had from Bath Body Works on my dresser. I had just taken a shower, I moisturized my skin. I'm driving to the theater and I said to my son, do you smell something? And he's like, kinda. And I'm like, I said, oh God, I think it's that lotion I put on. Well, sure enough, it made me very sick. It tripped a migraine. The migraine, the kind where I actually hurled. And I'm trying to watch this movie and really give it a fair shake, mm-hmm. but I'm getting sicker by the minute. I'm trying to like wave my hand, trying to get air on me, and I'm like, I said to him, I said, I never have ever gotten up during a movie. Even if I had to pee like a racehorse, I'll sit there and hold it till the movie's done and then go pee. That's how bad this was that I said to my son, hold this. I gave him my water or whatever, you know, and I said, I'll be back. And I went to the bathroom. And I'll tell you, Brian, I got down, you know, because it's the Rockaway mm-hmm. Theater, the big stadium seating, so I had to make my way down. And by the time I got out of the theater, because it was so far to walk, there was one of those waste baskets, you know, those huge
right, yeah,
ones
yeah.
that you can throw your popcorn
yeah.
in on the way out. And I looked at it, because it was like, you know, uh-oh. And I'm like, holy crap, this is going to be so embarrassing. I may actually have to throw up in this garbage can, because, and then I'm like, where the hell is the bathroom? Thank God we were in Theater One. So I made it past that wastebasket, went around the corner, and right there was the ladies' room. I had enough time to run in. I'm like, screw vanity. I'm like, I don't care about locking the door. I just got in and I made it just in the nick of time to hurl. And you know that kind where you're like, you just get so flushed and you're shaking like a leaf and everything. It was so bad. And then I thought, okay, I'm done. Nope, had to hurl again. Finally, I'm like, oh, God. And I hadn't eaten. All right, so this is all just like coffee from the morning that I had.
Stomach acid.
And stomach acid. Nasty. But thank God, you know, and that's all. The first thing I thought to myself was, thank God you didn't eat. You know, I had nothing like icky to come up, but, you know. So I make my way back into the theater, sitting there, and I text my son because I can't find him, and then he said, oh, he was looking for me, because I guess I didn't realize it was like, I didn't realize I'd been gone that long, you know. Apparently I had, that he went looking for me. So I said, no, I went and got a thing of water, and so he came and found me, and we're watching, I'm trying to sip some water, and all of a sudden I'm like, I gotta go again. So I made it back to the ladies' room, threw up a third time. Went back, sat in the theater, and I'm like, now I can't eat. You know, you're thirsty, but I'm like, I can't even sip water. Thank God I had my Young Living essential oil of peppermint oil with me. And I took my finger and I just touched the top of it and touched it to my finger to my tongue, and I got a drop of it in because it's known to settle your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you know, let's face it, your breath isn't great after you hurl. So, you know, I had the benefit of that, but it did start to make me, and I put some on my forehead to kind of cool, because I was so flushed too. I was trying to cool my head off. Finally, this movie ends, and I'm like, thanking God, you know. I really, in spite of how sick I was, really tried to watch it. And then there's parts where he's swinging that camera around, and I'm like, that's what made me hurl. I had to get up and go hurl again because it got me dizzy watching the movie because the camera's swirling so much. And I'm like, now, had I not been sick, I probably could have just looked at the floor during that scene and gotten through it and looked back up. But it was too late. That camera was wanging back and forth. And I'm like, I gotta go again, you know, and I threw up a third time. Came back in. When that guy gets thrown into the camera, I almost stood up and cheered. If I'd had the energy and not been so sick of it, I'm like, yes, it's over! Woo! Made it! All right, let's get out of here, you know? It's like, oh my God. It's just...
Nope, I saw the previews and had no want to see it.
It was all hype. It was all hype. And people are like, oh, this is what it's like paranormal investigating. I'm like...
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
And, you know, it was a good marketing ploy. I'll give it that, because they got people vested. You sat there and you clicked to demand it to come to your area.
Right, right.
Now you were like, okay, well, I demand it. I should go see it.
Believe me, they made tons of money off of that thing, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not scary at all.
Now you're going to see a lot of these movies coming out.
Yeah.
These low-budget films and...
You know, you can be low-budget and still... I mean... I would say if that were just said, look, this is a low-budget film a couple of my friends of mine made. Why don't you watch
right,
it?
Let me. Right.
It would be entertaining at home with a bunch of friends saying, oh, that's so-and-so. Yeah, I know him.
Right, right.
But to get all worked up and make you think, oh, my God, this even the like Spielberg even said this movie's haunted. Here, get rid of it. You know, oh, my God, this is so scary. You know, I've lived through scary, okay? I literally have. I haven't told you half the crap that I've been through, but some scary, scary stuff between investigations, stuff that was brought into my own house, and I'm watching this going, okay, she's getting possessed. That's pretty cool. You know, and had you had a bigger budget, could have done some special effects.
That would have been nice.
It would have really scared the crap. And then there were other people that said, well, I went. Now, when Brian and my son and I went to see it, there were four other people, so we were total of six people, including us, in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Other people swear that it was you were pulling off the energy of the audience, that people who were jumpy and scaring and screaming is what made the movie. So if you went on a crowded Friday or Saturday night, you apparently got more of a rush from the flick.
Eh, whatever.
But then that could be... Because when Blair Witch came out, I didn't see it in the theater. I rented it when it came out on VHS, you know, when it was rentable. And we watched it at home. We're like, okay, okay.
Yeah, I know.
You know? Anyway, so Paranormal Activity did that. And moving on, I want to clarify about certification at Eastern State Penitentiary. We do have a good-sized group going next on Saturday, November 28th. So Dina's going to help me. You don't have to worry about it. Dina and I are going to...
Yay!
Get
I'll
down
nice
there
and warm.
Freeze our ass, butts off, and...
Better hope they have those heaters working.
I know. But we're going to go down there so that way I can do the whole video presentation and get all the training done. We'll have the Eastern State person do their training on the history, and then they'll get some hands-on time to do their investigating. I just want people to know that when you're doing this, you have to have your own equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we don't provide it for you. Eastern State doesn't provide it for you. So you're not going to show up with a disposable 35-millimeter camera and go, ooh, let's go ghost hunting. This is for serious people who are serious about becoming a more advanced paranormal investigator. Okay, that's what we mean by you're certified by the NJGHS. You're someone who has really accrued all the instrumentation and gadgetry. You're someone who knows how to work it. You're someone who's taken the course and really learned all these different technical stuff. Because when you join the NJGHS for $20 and you go on two cemetery hunts, you're getting basic training, mm-hmm. okay? From there, if you start buying a lot of gadgets and doing your own experiments and then you really want to learn how everything else works and how best to manage a team, how to start your own group and blah, 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 that's when you go for certification, which means by the time you show up, you already have your thermal scanner or your EMF detector and your digital audio, your camcorder, your digital still, you know, all the basics, right, for equipment.
And certification, this is certification only within the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society.
Right.
It's not something you can go, hey, look, I'm a certified paranormal investigator, and it's going to mean anything outside of our group.
Right, exactly. Put it this way, if you're a CPI in our group, and I get one hell of a case that comes our way, and it's pretty demanding and could be pretty beyond ghost, almost going into the more demonic or scary stuff, you know, super scary, super intense cases, I should say, I go to my CPIs first. Okay, I want someone who's very professional, knowledgeable, and experienced, and balanced, and centered.
Run, dude, run!
Yeah. you know what I'm saying? Like,
yep.
That's what that CPI means. You're a certified paranormal investigator. You've got your equipment. You're professional. You know what you're doing. You're experienced. And you've been certified as that because you turned in a really good report of findings, which mm-hmm. is what you have to do after you complete your on-site stuff at Eastern State. You have 2 weeks to send in a report of findings, which you chronicle the historical properties of the building and the whole investigation that night, everything that where you went, what cell block,
right.
what you captured,
right.
you delineate. And then you also break down, these are the EVPs I got. If you didn't get any, fine. You just say, we didn't get any, you know, or I didn't get any. If you got any video clips, anything, but you break it all out, you put it into a nice report, and all those things, based on your evidence, your digital stills, your audio and your video, plus your written report of the investigation itself and the historical background, Brian and I go through, we grade it all, we have a grading scale, and then you have to get an 80 or better. And then we say, okay, you passed. You get your certification. And like Brian said, it's within,
just,
you know.
This group only.
You could put CPI after your name on. And in fact, you'll get, when you get your certificate as a certified paranormal investigator from the NJGHS, you get a laminated card that has mm-hmm. your name with certified paranormal investigator. Going forward, you know, whenever you submit a report to NJGHS, if you've done a case or an investigation, you can put, you know, Joe Schmo, comma, CPI.
Right, right.
Because then we'll know, okay, you're a CPI through us. That's why you're sending us your report.
Right, but you can't go and start your own class saying, yeah, I'm going to be a trainer now because I'm a certified paranormal investigator. No.
No. You don't have that much time in the trenches. I mean, maybe some of you do, but in any event, so just so you know, you have to meet at the main gate. And I've tried to redo the certification page. And we, you know, I think our commercial still says MasterCard and Visa accepted. We have to redo that commercial. I keep forgetting because we don't take credit cards anymore. It got too expensive. But I tried to do the certification page over because I kept getting so many questions that I thought I had answered on the page.
Mm-hmm.
So now I've rewritten it. I've taken off the old picture and everything and just said, here's the deal. You know, you have to have your equipment. If, let's say you're part of your own little team, like it's a mother and daughter, husband and wife,
mm-hmm.
or a little family type team, and between all two or three or four of you, you have every piece of equipment, and you all want to share, that's fine. But each of you has to send in your own report. I've gotten reports in the past where,
yeah.
Oh, me and my friend did this at that night, and I'm like, no, 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 no. She has to send her report, and you have to send your report. Because it's a slap in the face of the other people who have gone before you, who did all the work, sent in their report, and got certified. If you sit there and do a collaborative team effort, and you send in one report for four people, that's 25% of the work of what someone else did.
Well, then we're
going to
take your card, we're going to cut it into four, and send you each a quarter of it. And the only way you can go investigating is all four of you have to be there at the same time
to put the card together. There you go. Yeah, because really, it's not fair to the people who have done all the work prior. I have to always respect the fact that they got their certification by doing all the work, having the equipment, and submitting the report on their own. So, and I do ask that you don't show up with any infrared stuff, you know, and DVR units, because we had that happen one time, and it takes way too long to set all that up and break it all down.
Yep.
And don't bring any homemade gizmos. I mean, I totally applaud people who are taking the initiative and coming up with new ways to document and possibly investigate the paranormal, but not during a certification, because if it's your own homemade gizmo, it's not going to be something that Brian and I can quantify, because we didn't make it up. We don't know how it works, so how are we going to grade whatever evidence you capture? You know, we don't really know. So, and it wouldn't be fair to the other people who don't have that little gizmo. I think we just keep it even footing. Everybody has access to the same standard equipment, whether it's, you know, a Sony night shot on your camcorder, your EMF, your thermal scan, or maybe you have one of those thermometers that measures barometric pressure and humidity as well. That's great. And bear in mind on your reports, too, I'm also looking to see, did you document any solar flares that might have taken place 3 days before? Did you document the moon phase? Mm-hmm. What the weather conditions were that night? Now, I do go over all this in the training that I do. So, but those are things, like when I'm giving that training, if you want to take notes or whatever or record it, you might want to, because these are things that we're looking for when we get your report of findings to see how you broke everything out. Right?
Absolutely.
There's one woman who's to this day holds the record of sending in the best ROF. My God, she did it like how I would do it if I were to do one, you know, like, but even better. She like blew me away with how she had everything even hyperlinked within the document. You would click on the picture, it would take you to the audio, it would take you to this.
Right.
And it within an entire Word document. She built in everything, the video clips, audio clips, her photography, her report. Oh, my, it was stellar, you know, really kick ass. Anyway, so I think we've blabbed enough. We're going to go to commercial. So you can put your ears on breather mode, and we'll be back right after this. Do you have what it takes to be a ghost hunter? Are you fascinated with the paranormal? Then why not take your interest to the next level and join New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society? For a $20 lifetime membership fee, you'll receive training on our cemetery hunts, get to participate on investigative teams for private investigations, and receive discounts on books we sell. Members also get the reduced rate on special events we offer throughout the year. You can PayPal right from the homepage of www.njghs.net or send your check or money order payable to Ghost Hunters to P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey 07054. Happy haunting.
I say, Sean B., I've been thinking about all the things necessary to produce a proper paranormal broadcast.
Do tell, Nathan S., what are these vital qualities?
Empathy, commitment, quiet dignity, and self-respect.
Indeed! What a shame we don't have any of those traits! Oh yeah, the Ghost Planet Demon Hunter show is rocking its way on the supernatural scene.
It's drive time paranormal broadcasting without the driving or the timing. Just go to www.ghostanddemon.com.
Think you know what goes bump in the night? You ain't heard nothing yet.
Each week we'll be bringing you the best and the worst kept secrets in the paranormal community.
Yeah, us, the Ghost Planet Demon Hunter, Sunday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
www.ghostanddemon.com. The Ghost Planet Demon Hunter show is beyond the normal broadcast.
Hi, I'm Charles J. Adams III, the author of Cape May Ghost Stories and many other local ghost books, and you're listening to the Deadline podcast of the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society.
Hey, welcome back. You know what we got to do is go over our meeting announcements.
We have meetings?
Yes, we still have meetings.
Wow.
Okay. Central Jersey Division meeting. Team leaders Gregory and Sherry Irish. They don't have a meeting in December. Take the month off. Their next meeting will be January 6, 2010, from 7 to 8:30 p.m., still in the Hazlitt Library, located at 251 Middle Road in Hazlitt. The reason I say still is because it has been brought to our attention that Greg and Sherry were notified by the Hazlitt Library that after January, they're going to have to find someplace else to hold their meetings. How nice is that?
Why?
Apparently some other group that's taking priority is taking over the room and the night that we have our meetings. Well, and the,
can't they schedule another night?
That's what I said, but apparently no was the answer. I guess the library just doesn't want us there anymore because they were not accommodating at all. So the only accommodation we got out of them was to at least give us January so we have time to, you know, because it's... You know, Greg and Sherry are trying to figure out where they, you know, scope out some other local libraries. Because it's not just, you know, having it at a library for the hell of a library. Because we can't afford it. We're a nonprofit, you know. We're not going to be paying $50-$60 a month to rent a space. Right. We're getting $500 certificates of insurance and all this crap, you know. So they're working on it. Hopefully we will have some news. Stay tuned to the website as to where the February meeting will take place. So we'll let you know. The North Jersey Division, your team leader, Dina Tirico, is having not really a meeting in December. It's more of a holiday gathering. So it's on our regular, what would be our meeting night, which is the third Tuesday for North Jersey. So December 15th, 2009, from 6:30 to 8 p.m. in the Yellow Room, which is upstairs in the community center located at 293 Main Street in Hackettstown. There's going to be a nice holiday gathering. Now, if you want to bring some type of snack or beverage, which is non-alcoholic, please, to share, that's great. If you want to purchase gift certificates for membership to give, you know, in the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society or Morbid Mobile Tours, you can do that. I'll be there. I'll have my book, Ghost Hunting New Jersey, so if you want to buy a copy of it, if you want me to sign it, great. If not, no big deal. But I'll be there, and it's only $10 when you buy the book from me in person, so that saves you quite a bit, you know, because it's $14.95 plus tax at Barnes & Noble or Borders.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. Also, I'll be making cupcakes again, but I'm not doing, like, a bake sale like I did last year where I had to just bake and bake and bake and show up with all this stuff hoping it would sell. This year, you know, given my financial constraints, I'm taking orders. Now, I'm trusting you, because if you place an order, I'm trusting that you will show up that night with the cash and pick up the order, not leave me, because I don't eat this stuff. I literally don't. I love to bake, but I'll have, like, one of something that I've made just for quality control, and then that's it.
Seriously,
that's it. Like, the brownies, I had a second one of brownies.
You have sons. That's called quality control.
Yeah, they're my quality control, too, but... So if you want to place an order, you can email me, laurah@njghs.net, and tell me, you know, you have to buy in increments of half a dozen. It's $5 for 6 cupcakes. And I've got some pretty exotic cupcake flavors that I do here. I have a peanut butter cream chocolate cupcake. So it's a chocolate cupcake with peanut butter, buttercream frosting, and a little Reese's peanut butter cup on top. I make a chocolate cupcake with a mint buttercream and an Andes candy on top of that. Strawberry cupcake frosted with strawberry buttercream and drizzled with chocolate. Okay, that's called a chocolate-covered strawberry cupcake. Amaretto buttercream on a white cupcake with slivered almonds. The mocha buttercream on a chocolate cupcake. Maple walnut on a yellow, and that's a maple walnut frosting that I make, buttercream. I finally chop up walnuts and sprinkle them on top, and that's on a yellow cupcake. And now I've even come up with an orange, remember those orange creamsicles that you used to get on the boardwalk at Seaside?
Yep.
Oh, how yummy they were. Well, now I have figured out how to make an orange buttercream, and then I make the vanilla buttercream. So I pipe the vanilla in the center on top of the yellow cupcake, and then I do the orange buttercream around it. So you get that orange creamsicle effect. For those of you who are still standards, if you want a yellow cupcake with chocolate or vanilla frosting, I can do that. Or if you want a chocolate cupcake with vanilla or chocolate frosting, I can do that. They're boring, but if
what,
that's
no
what you
brownies?
Want. No, no. So anyway, but the meetings are free. I forgot to tell you, the meetings are free and open to the public to attend. But if you do want any of those cupcakes, I have all this list on the homepage in the meeting announcement section of njghs.net. So you can look through there and then just drop me an email as to, you know, how many of each one you would want. Dina already sent me an email. She's already ordered a dozen cupcakes, six of one flavor, six of the other. I think she wanted the mocha and the chocolate mint. But so that was good, and I've even started a cupcakes folder in my email, so as the orders come in, I just put them in there, and then I'll make every... And everything's made fresh, that's just it. Like, I can't do these way ahead of time. I mean, the frosting, some of the frosting you can make ahead of time and put in an airtight container and refrigerate it, but that's about it. Everything else, it's like the day before or the day of, I'll be baking, piping on frosting... out the door it's going to go, so because it's homemade, it's not going to have a gazillion preservatives in it, so it's not going to have a very long shelf life. And from what I see with people who eat my baked goods, that doesn't have much of a shelf life anyway. They seem to ingest them rather rapidly. So
reminds me of those crumbs cupcakes.
They were good, huh?
They tell you don't if you're not going to eat them right away, freeze them up to 2 weeks. And that's it. Because we don't put preservatives in here, you know, nothing. And they're so good.
Yeah, and there's nothing better than, like, and what I like about cupcakes is, like, because I'm not, like, a big sweet eater, right?
I'm not either.
So, and, you know, like, even, like, when you go out to a diner and you order, a slice of cake, let's say, it comes out, it's, like, half a cake by my standards. I'm like, I can't eat all that. You know, no wonder it's $5 for the slice, but it's huge. And to me, a cupcake is just enough that you feel satiated that, ooh, I had a sweet treat, I had a taste, and I'm done. I don't need this mammoth proportioned dessert, you know?
Well, speaking of that, I read an article on Yahoo today.
All by yourself?
Yes, I did. About movie popcorn.
Yeah, I saw they had an article about what's in the movie popcorn,
when
and I was like,
popcorn,
I didn't get a chance to read it.
A medium popcorn, they say it has 1,600 calories. Like, they said it's the equivalent to eating 3/4 pounders and 12 pats of butter.
Oh, my God. And I put extra butter on it.
Because what did they say? AMC and Regal Theaters pop it in coconut oil.
No wonder I get sick.
They pop it in coconut oil.
Coconut oil?
Cinemark, they say, uses canola oil.
Okay.
Which is takes it down to 1,000 calories for a medium. But 1,600 calories for a medium.
Wow.
And that's if you don't even put butter on it.
Right, right. And I sit there and drown it to where it's like I need an extra bag because it's leaking through. I'm like, and then I wonder why I get sick.
There you go.
Because, you know, I would always get very queasy, like from eating the movie popcorn. And then a lot of times if I hadn't eaten anything during the day and then I'm eating this popcorn.
Right, yeah.
I'd get a migraine. Now I know why. Because I was like, well, how come sometimes I go to the theater down the street, I have their popcorn. I thought, well, maybe because they're using a different brand, but it's the oil.
It's the oil that they pop in.
Because coconut trips a migraine. Like, I can't even put coconut, anything like coconut tanning lotions or hand creams on my skin. It seeps in through my skin and trips a migraine.
Well, there you go. Now you know.
So now I know. Oh, crap. So I'm better off just going to the theater and just, like, eating, like, at McDonald's first.
Pretty much.
Less calories.
Yep. That's why when I go, I don't order popcorn because I don't know how long ago it was popped.
Yeah.
That's the first
sometimes
thing.
You walk in, you see them making it, and it smells so good. But a lot of these theaters now, they rip open a bag of pre-made cold popcorn. They throw it in under their lamps.
And they pop two or three of them. What they'll do is they'll pop two or three fresh, and they'll mix it all up.
Yeah, if you get that. I've seen them where they just throw the bag in and they heat it up under a lamp and say, there's popcorn. I'm like, oh, man.
Well, as long as what they try to do is say, they try to pop at least one or two fresh in there because then they can say, oh, yeah, it's fresh popcorn.
Mm. Yeah, it's really.
I go there for the
meals.
What
they charge. You got to see, what I do is I have the movie purse. So I go to Walmart and I buy like the Kit Kats or Twix and stuff for Trent and the Twizzlers that Brian likes and little mini bottles of Poland Spring water. And I put that all in the different compartments on the bottom of the purse, make sure the wallet is just right at the top where I can just grab it and pay for the movie to get inside. And then we just walk right past the concession stand, say screw it. We go in, sit down, and once the lights go down, I start handing out their waters and their snacks. And
no, I go and if I'm going to go there and I haven't eaten, I'll just go right. Jeez.
sorry. Speaking of eating, am I? Oh my god!
No,
my
but
tummy.
I'll go and I'll get the real meals that they have there, where they actually cook it. You know, like yeah. Hamburgers, you know, cheese steaks.
That's not bad. I've never been to a theater and seen. I mean, I think the AMC in Rockaway has it where you can get like hot dogs, pizza, some stuff like that. But anyway, so we haven't done Parashare in a while. Now, Parashare is if you have a paranormal experience or ghost encounter to tell, then you send it in an email to the deadline. It's all one word, the deadline, at njghs.net. Now, for each Parashare you submit and we read on the show, you'll receive one credit. You may use your credits to receive membership in the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. Only one credit is necessary, which means only one Parashare. Ta-da! Or you may save up and cash in 10 credits for a natal chart. It's a $75 value. And we'll keep track of the Parashares and let you know when you hit 10. Then you can send me your birth date, birth time, and birthplace, and I will send you a full-color natal chart printout with my handwritten notes, too. Now, this is the benefit of having taken a while. And actually having Facebook. I must say, we are getting somewhat of a following on the NJGHS Facebook page. I posted on there that we needed Parashares. We have Parashares. All right. Hey, Laura, I wanted to share my terrifying experiences with you that all started with using a Ouija board. It all started in my early 20s when I was dating my soon-to-be first wife. We were both interested in the occult at the time, and for kicks, we bought a Ouija board to try out. Her grandfather had just passed away, and she had inherited his house. This was a very unique house. It had a 2-acre property and was the very first house, farm at the time, in the Harrisburg area. The property had a very old cemetery on it in the woods, with about 50 graves from the late 1700s to the early 1800s in it. Many of the people buried in the cemetery had at one time lived at that house. The National Historic Society came out every few months to clear the cemetery of weeds. We brought the Ouija board to the house and we started trying to communicate with the spirits of people who once lived at the house. We got the Ouija board to move very easily right from the beginning. We would ask many different questions and would always get answers to our questions. We asked whom we were speaking to, and every time the board would just say T, like the letter T is in Tom. And that's all we got, just the letter T. We got the impression that this was a very friendly spirit, and it was a lot of fun communicating with it. We'd ask questions about our future, other spirits in the cemetery, and many other casual questions. This seemed really neat, talking to a friendly spirit. We should have had the clip of Casper, the friendly ghost. We eventually got to the point where we were obsessed with using the Ouija board. As soon as we got home from work, we would get the Ouija board and out almost immediately and use it for much of the night. We were almost addicted to it. Very quickly, we started getting careless. We started using it by ourselves, especially me. It was so neat how fast it would just move around answering any question. Then, one night, my wife had to work, and she drove separately to a friend's house to meet there and hang out with them after work. I met her there with the Ouija board in hand. We started using the Ouija board with our friends. We were talking to T, like we usually did. Our friends were amazed at how it really moved around and answered our questions. Then, after an hour or so of using it, all of a sudden, centerpiece, which he means the planchette, moved to the word bye, and then just flew off the board. We were confused why it would do this mid-sentence and had never experienced this before. We asked the Ouija board if anyone was there. It replied, yes. We then asked who it was. It immediately spelled evil. This freaked us out immediately. We were scared to death and we vowed that we would never use the Ouija board again. We were about ready to leave. I told everyone after that, I'm going to get rid of the Ouija board and never use it again. Now, my wife and I had driven separately to our friend's house, so when we left, I drove alone and laid the Ouija board on my passenger seat, and she followed behind me, I guess in her car. What happened next terrified me beyond belief. Going down a dark, secluded road, all of a sudden, I heard a loud couple of knocks on the window, and the passenger window just shattered from the inside out. I was so shocked I nearly wrecked the car. I managed to stop the car and ran out of it in a hurry. She stopped behind me to ask me what happened. I was so terrified I couldn't even speak. I turned white as a ghost. I told her, "You're not going to believe this, but the passenger window just shattered all over the place, the same side of the car where I had the Ouija board." She was speechless. We were both scared to death. After being in hysterics for a good 15 or 20 minutes, I managed to get back into the car. I drove about 2 miles until I reached the first convenience store we could come to. I took the Ouija board out and ripped it into 4 separate pieces and threw it in the trash can. I couldn't get rid of it soon enough. Now, at this time, we were dating and living separately. My parents were out of town, and I was still living at home. I was all alone that night, so I thought. I went to bed that night, and whatever came from that Ouija board and shattered the window must have followed me to my parents' house. I had a hard time sleeping that night. In the middle of the night, a radio came on all by itself. I couldn't move. I froze up, and I was afraid to even breathe. Would this nightmare ever end? The radio was not hooked up to an alarm clock, and it wasn't even in the same room I was in. It was playing some eerie classical piano music. I eventually got the guts to turn off the radio. I got back in bed, this time holding a Bible against my chest. Then I saw a shadowy figure by the foot of my bed, and it terrified me to an even new level. This type of thing just doesn't happen. Am I being hunted by a demon? I prayed to God to make it go away, begged for forgiveness, and made every promise to God to be a better person if He'd save me, if He'd only save me from this. I didn't see the shadowy figure anymore, so I tried to close my eyes and go to bed. All of a sudden, I felt something sink down on my bed around my body. I couldn't see anything, but I felt something breathing on my face. Then I yelled out, "No! God, help me!" I held the Bible out in front of me and kept yelling, "Get out of here! In the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior!" After about another hour, which seemed like an eternity, eventually everything seemed to go back to normal, and I finally fell asleep. This was my last experience of ever using a Ouija board. I made a vow to never use one again. Be very careful what you play with. It's not a game. Tom Ivey, co-founder of Ghost Quest.
Very good. Yeah.
Thank you. And yeah, we can't stress enough that, you know, the Ouija board is just a no-no. You know? Don't do it. Don't mess with it. It's not worth it. You don't realize what you're getting into. It's criminal that they market that as a board game to children, you know, because it's not good.
But how could they even market it as a board game? How is it a board game?
Yeah. It's a board that you put a thing on and you play. That's how they market it. It's a game. Get the book by Stoker Hunt, Ouija, the Most Dangerous Game. You read that, I guarantee you, you will not want to play that thing again. It's not something to be toyed with. Very good. Thank you so much. And I've seen Tom on my Facebook, so that's how I think he knew to send in a parasherry, so the Facebook request. Okay. And so that's very cool. Thank you so much, Tom. That totally rocks, and I applaud you for having the strength to get through that and just turn your back on the Ouija board and never do it again. Very good. Thank you, and we'll be right back after this. Now's your chance to take what should be your last ride and get out alive. Morbid Mobile Tours lets you climb in through the suicide door or end loader and head out to the infamous Shades of Death Road in Warren County. While you're seated in the very space where dead bodies took the ride to their final resting place, you'll hear the grim tales of ghosts, murder, and disease. Jezebel is a beautiful 1983 Cadillac hearse who served her time in funeral processions and now is dying to take you with her on this haunted trail. Tours are $25 per victim and depart from the Hackettstown train station. To book your tour, visit Morbid Mobile Tours page by clicking the license plate on the homepage of the NJGHS.net website. Morbid Mobile Tours, we're waiting to take you away. If you're ready to take your ghost hunting to the next level, you're ready to be a certified paranormal investigator by the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. The certification includes 4 hours of hands-on, concentrated training by the NJGHS leaders at the most haunted prison in the United States, Eastern State Penitentiary, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. To participate, you must have all of your own equipment. Register online at the NJGHS.net website certification page. Costs are $125 for current members and $145 for non-members of the NJGHS who will receive their membership going forward. PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa are accepted. Upon completion of the course, submission of your report of findings, and achieving a total point score of 80 or better, you will receive your certificate and new certified paranormal investigator card from the NJGHS. All the details are on the certification page of the NJGHS.net website. So what are you waiting for? Take your hobby seriously. Become a certified paranormal investigator.
Hi, this is Jeff Philander of GhostVillage.com, and when I'm not out hunting ghosts and seeking out folklore, I'm listening to The Deadline.
Hey, welcome back. It's time for Haunted Trivia. Now, last time on Haunted Trivia, you were asked, what was the name of the teenager who jumped to his death from Suicide Tower as detailed in my book, Ghost Hunting New Jersey? And all this time, nobody even took a stab at it. Can you believe it? How long that show ran? Although we did preempt it and we switched up to the Halloween one, but come on, people, really. His name was Greg with two G's, Greg Sanders. He was 15 years old at the time in 1975 and, you know, lived in a fairly affluent little community of Mountainside, New Jersey. Those of you who are familiar with the area, you know Suicide Tower and the Watchung Res, which is a reservation not for Indians but for animals. It's reserved land.
Yes.
Where, yeah, you know, because I never realized that growing up when I would tell people, like, yeah, we're going to the res tonight. And they're like, I'm like, you know, the Watchung Reservation. They're like, really? You got Indians out here? I'm like, and I couldn't make the connection until someone explained to me how Indians live on a reservation. I'm like, yeah. Oh, for God's sake. You know, like, no, it's a reservation because it, you know, protects these animals, well, supposedly, until they did the deer hunts years ago to thin the herd. But in any event, yeah, so that's the Watchung Res. He was in his house in Mountainside. He took an axe, killed his father in the dining room. Mother came in to see what was going on. He turned around and whacked her. The sister survived because she was away at school in Boston. And then he ran out of the house, and it was like, I think it was in November or something. There was a time of year where it would be pretty chilly.
Mm-hmm.
And he just had like one of those polo turtle, you know, short sleeve shirts on and khaki pants. And he ran up the mountain to up the road there to Suicide Tower. Well, now it's Suicide Tower. It was just the Watchung Tower. And at the time, they had the stairs. You could walk all the way up and look out over New York. And everything was gorgeous. So he had the stairs, and he ran up the stairs of the tower. And what's weird is I guess he was right-handed because he took a razor blade and he slit his left wrist, and then he jumped off the tower. You know, because at the time, I think there was just like a railing. So, you could walk up top, but literally if you weren't careful, you could fall off. So it was very easy to jump to your death from there. Then when I was little, my father would take my brother and I up there. It was a fencing. Mm-hmm. So now you couldn't really, because at the top of the fence, it arched in with some barbed wire.
Yeah.
So you could still see out to New York, but you couldn't run the risk of climbing to your death. But this kid did it. He jumped to his death and, you know. Really sad. He was a very smart student, but he didn't feel like he was as good as his older sister.
Right.
And he had all the pressure to compete with that, and plus the peer pressure in school to be so excellent, and it just all overwhelmed him, and, you know, really, really sad. So anyway, So for those of you who ever get the book, Ghost Hunting New Jersey, you'll read all about it. So this week, this haunted trivia asks, in addition to filming, here's your question. In addition to filming Interview with a Vampire at this famous plantation, the place is haunted by a spectral woman seen in the lavender bedroom window, staring down at people below outside. What is the name of this plantation? Hint, hint, it is in the New Orleans area.
Nolens
area. Be the first person to email the correct answer of what plantation is this to hauntedtrivia@njghs.net, and you'll win a copy of Ghost Hunting New Jersey. As always, team leaders and those people who have won in the last 30 days are not eligible. Well, we haven't had any show in the last 30 days, so obviously if you're not a team leader, you're eligible at this point. So, I want to remind people of the generous 10% store discount at Paranormal Books and Curiosities in Asbury Park, New Jersey. It's for NJGHS members.
Only.
So get this. You walk in to Paranormal Books and Curiosities in Asbury Park. You do some shopping. You get up to the register, and you show your NJGHS membership card, and bam, she takes 10% off your order.
I don't have to.
Well, yeah, she knows you, she knows me, but that's when I say she, I should be nice. It's Kathy Kelly, who is the owner, proprietor of that. And she also has next door, she took over that store and has converted it to the Paranormal Museum.
Ah, nice.
So different, right now the Jersey Devil display, I don't know what you call it, but it's like a museum where it'll change.
Right. Okay.
A showing or an event. I don't know what a museum term for that is. But right now it's highlighting the Jersey Devil.
Okay.
I went through it when I was there for my book signing in October, and my kids went through it like at 90 miles an hour. And she's like, no, you got to go a little slower. But she has the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and it's done beautifully, very tastefully and elegantly. The artifacts and different pieces of history are outlined, so you really get the whole history, and you get to see artifacts and different things of relating to the Jersey Devil. So it's, you come out of there and you're like, you've got an education, but she does it really well with atmosphere and display and elegance. So kudos to Kathy Kelly for that. So you should go down and check out her store, but also check out Paranormal Books and Curiosities. And I forget the name of the psychic that I had a reading with that day. But she's usually there on, like, Saturdays and Sunday afternoons, I think. And she, you know, you can make an appointment ahead of time or you can just show up and take your chances. But she has her own little room in back of Kathy's store and does readings. And they're, I would say they're priced on par.
Yeah.
You know, they're not a ripoff. They're, like, what you would pay, I would say a fair price.
Yes.
You know, like, when I used to do readings, I charged $40 for half an hour. And $20 for 15 minutes. And, you know, basically, or if I had a psychic working for me, they were getting $1 a minute. So they did a 15-minute reading. They got $15. I got $5 because I was paying the electricity of the store and giving them a place to do the reading. So it was like you had to make something. But, and then it always kind of stuck. And I think that's what this reading was. It was maybe $20, $25 or something for whatever. But it was good. It was very good. So you should check it out. Also, John Zaffis will be at Sussex County Community College Performing Arts Center on Thursday, February 11th, 2010 at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are $7 to $14 or free if you have a Sussex County Community College ID. Okay. The link to a PDF for the announcement of this is on the of student activities. And I'll put the link on our site. It's on the deadline page because it's long. It's like sussex.edu/student activities, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, this came to us from our buddy and CPI NJGHS member, Andrew. So thank you, Andrew. And don't forget to be a friend of America's Haunted Road Trip. It is the MySpace of the paranormal. Go to americashauntedroadtrip.com and register today. You'll network with paranormal authors from the series of books as well as other investigators and paranormal fans. Please note, I will be schlepping into New York City a lot now to pound the pavement for my next book. If anyone wants to tag along, let me know. Because really, I would love to have the company, and a second set of investigative eyes at these historic haunted locations is always helpful. So let me know. You can email me at laurah@njghs.net. Also, if you have a favorite haunted hotspot in New York City that's open to the public, clue me in. Let me know. It'd be great, you know, if people want to go with me. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I have to go in a lot. So, you know, if someone says, oh, this is my favorite place, I know so-and-so there, and that helps me. Because right. Now I can already do the interview, I can get the story, and blah, blah, blah. But it's good. So, people, you know, let me know. If you want to tag along, great. And don't forget Tuesday, December 1st, to vote for the deadline on Podcast Alley. The link is definitely on the homepage of the site, and it's on the deadline page, too, right?
Yes.
Okay, so make sure you do that. Vote for our show, because I've even forgotten. You know, I've been so busy, but it's no excuse. I have to do it, and I have to remind all of you. All right, so we are going to, I guess, call it a day here.
I think it would be a good idea.
Okay. Thank you so much to Brian Sant, the NJGHS technician and producer of The Deadline.
Hail to the king, baby.
Of course, our wonderful team leaders, Dina Chirico and Gregory and Sherry Irish. And also, and of course, thanks to all of you for listening. Keep downloading the shows weekly, because at some point in life, you have to meet The Deadline.